afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 2th, 131st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. Have you lost weight or you just have a real floppy watch?
I just had a lighter lunch today.
So I see. Water retention, eh? I'll let that one slide real fast. That's almost a fireman joke, though, isn't it?
Almost.
Almost, okay.
That or an insult I'm trying to work on.
You know, and it's the only place it looks thinner from your lunch. Right? It must have gone straight to your wrist.
Funny how you noticed that.
Yeah. Well, you flop there. I don't know.
Right. I'm extra room just in case for a big dinner.
I see. We're sizing up. We're not slimming down. Okay. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the situation going on. Is it Richardson's Grove, Garberville, Willits?
Yeah,
we've heard in those references.
Garberville area, between Benbow, Richardson Grove, right in that area in between there.
Okay, so we'll talk about what's going on down there, as there was an event.
Correct. Ongoing.
Yes, so we'll get the latest, greatest. We'll go back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ken Woods from, I can just call you Ken, huh? You don't have another Ken. Kent
don't.
Is not close.
No, that's not close at all. Not a bit.
Miles and miles difference, right?
Yeah, we do have a miles.
Our quote this afternoon comes from Edmund Hoyle. The cards?
Does Hoyle. Okay.
Okay. Cards. Yeah, rules of how to play by Hoyle.
Sorry. It's okay. It's not connecting.
It will in a moment.
Okay.
I just don't want to lose you.
Proceed.
The first 30 seconds is tough to lose you and then have to search for half an hour.
Back in.
All right. When in doubt, win the trick.
That Edmund Doyle.
Yes.
Thank you.
Speaking of tricks, buddy. You got some of our guys down south now working on tan a little bit. You know that whole culture shock from the from the marine layer to the southern Humboldt, but they're down there doing their best, huh?
They're down in the sunshine in just south of Garberville on 101. We had a overturned tractor trailer today, this morning. It's carrying car batteries, auto parts. Other products that I'm not completely sure on, but overturned. They were not able to get the door open, the first responders that were on scene.
Door of
and
what?
And then the door of the trailer.
Oh, it's just like a regular enclosed
trailer? It's a van-type trailer.
Oh, okay.
But then they started noticing the smell of chemicals in product that has spilled inside. So the CHP is the incident commander on scene. Caltrans is there. Cal Fire is there. And the CHP requested our hazardous materials team to respond, and they left at about 1 o'clock this afternoon to head down there.
Oh, is that because this thing happened in, 7 o'clock?
This morning, correct. Right. And they were evidently trying to get the trailer door open today and were not able to do that, and then they smelled the chemicals, and so they have requested our hazmat team, and they should be on scene now evaluating. They'll be determining based on the bill of lading what is being carried in the vehicle, and then from there identify the hazards of those materials and what would happen if they are mixed. And then most likely they'll probably be cutting an access hole into the roof of the vehicle and making an entry that way to determine the extent of the spill, what are the items spilled, and then how they're going to go about mitigating and working to neutralize any problem there.
That wouldn't be by using a torch, would it?
I don't think so. I didn't give those specific instructions, but I don't believe they're going to be using their torch, no.
Good move. Experience does count. I'm kind of thinking, okay, 4.5 hours, this trailer's flopped on the side and nobody's noticing the smell? Yeah. Or it has to get to a certain heat level and then it starts vaporizing? And
it could be, you know, as things are overturned and spilled by the time they do get together and eventually run into each other, then reactions can happen. And I think they were trying to get the door open for, I'm not sure how long, but a while to gain access and weren't able to do that.
So being only semi-serious for a short length of time.
Very short.
How would you get into something like this? I mean, if you know it's, okay, batteries, okay, battery's not going to spill anything, but if it's got other nasties in there, do you really want to be the first guy opening the door? You know, as this stuff has shifted, obviously it has because it's tipped over. But
right, and that's why they want to look at what the truck was carrying and identify what the different products are and then how those products would interact with each other. And then because it's on its side, the door won't open, they'll probably, as I say, cut a hole in the fiberglass roof or the side of the vehicle and then make an inspection from there to determine, you know, what has spilled.
So what? Now I'm not really being goofy. Okay, a Sawzall is going to have spark potential. Yeah, you hit one of the cross members.
Yeah,
probably don't want to be the guy holding the machine at that point. Obviously, you're not going to go in using some of the torches and things like
that. No,
what do you do?
We have a number of different tools. We have our hydraulic tools that we use on auto extrication that can cut metal. We do have different types of saws. You know, we can apply water while they're sawing to keep any kind of sparks or things like that down. But they have a lot of specialized equipment where they can, you know, they're used to getting into containers and those types of things in a safe manner. They are specially trained. It's our firefighters, but a select group that have had extensive training in hazardous materials and identifying, understanding what happens when they do spill, and then how to clean them up to, again, mitigate any emergency, any potential hazard to the public.
And right now, part of the highway is blocked or detoured?
I believe it's blocked. Now, I haven't had an update.
Say, on a Friday afternoon?
Yeah, going not a lot of ways around down there.
True, the bypass never really
didn't quite connect.
Was authorized. Yeah, if we can't straighten out Richardson's Grove, we're not going to go around it, by golly.
Right, but I'm not positive if it's completely blocked, but that's the information we had preliminarily this morning.
What was that big word?
Preliminarily.
Good job. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We are back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Ken Woods from Humble Bay Fire. The guy that knows not to use an acetylene torch around flammable materials.
Right.
The Ken Woods.
You learned that pretty quick.
I would imagine,
you time.
Well, is that part of the training process, that not to actually have an explosion in a guy's face? I mean, I get not having, but to kind of have them be stupid so that they can see, okay, this is what happens if you do this, whammo, it locks in your memory. Kind of like the cop trying mace for the one and only time.
Right.
They understand what it means.
And we definitely try to learn from others' mistakes first. You know, there's a website that's out there called Firefighter Close Calls. And every day it shows different things across the nation of firefighters and scenes, emergencies they've gone to, and what they've learned and what not to do specifically at times. So, for instance, we'll take the example of a gas leak. And our guys all know that when there's a natural gas leak, we don't go and touch any electrical breakers. Because when you switch an electrical breaker, there's a spark.
Just a little bit, with yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of people, unfortunately, think that, oh, a gas leak, I got to turn off my electricity, I got to turn off the gas and do all that. And, you know, our guys know they're not going to touch anything electrical, they're not going to turn on switches, any of that. And how did that come about? Well, unfortunately, it probably came about from somebody
wiggled
a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. But we try to learn from those mistakes. We try to learn from particularly close calls as well, when things have, you know, come very close. It could have been an accident, could have been somebody's life. How do we know not to do that again and disseminate that information, not only to our department, but to others around the country whenever we get the opportunity?
So as you're training with the guys, mm-hmm. you know, and I would imagine you want them to sense it.
Right.
Firsthand,
right,
but not to the big. So how do you do? Yeah. Do you have a like, for example, with this one, a really small measured gas,
yeah.
or
no,
or a little tube, you know, in you a know. Room, and you say, okay, watch this,
yeah,
boom, and they see and experience and go, oh, okay, that doesn't make sense. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it really depends on the type of training we're doing. You know, we have live fire training where we'll get buildings and we'll set the building on fire and we'll go in and show them how the fire burns, what are the chemical reactions, how things occur in a very controlled environment, then how to put that fire out.
Yeah, the so really the example. Controlled environment part is what I've been trying yes. to say in my own little inevitable way.
Yeah, it is. So you know the materials that are burning, but you have the protection in place. You have people understanding there what their roles are. It's not a run-in, put-the-fire-out situation. It's a learning experience, and where it's controlled, where they have the time to understand and see what's going on so that when they do encounter in the field, it's that muscle memory-type reaction. They've been there before. They know things have maybe speeded up, but they know what to do, and they're avoiding those types of mistakes then.
So with the hazardous material gang,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine it's probably a little bit more challenging to get the training in the way that you want it to.
Right.
Okay. Here they go rolling down into Southern Humboldt, not having a clue. The stuff's been sitting there now for right. 4, 5, 6 hours by the time they get there.
Right.
Okay. Somebody smells that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Chief, lead the way. We'll be back here making notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
How do you get into something like that? You don't know really what you're running into.
Right. And, you know, we want to, what, and hopefully was done down there, is isolate the area, limit entry, and then be very systematic and cautious, looking then, as I mentioned, that shipper's bill of lading. What is that vehicle carrying? What are those materials that are in there? And closely then identifying what those products are, and then looking and knowing what the hazards are. And we have what's called an ERG, an emergency response guide, which lists hundreds and hundreds of chemical products, how they react to water, what happens when there's a spill, what happens in the air, what kind of isolation zones you need, what type of protective equipment to wear. So we can go and we can look at ethyl methyl bad stuff in the book and say, oh, okay, well, if it's a spill of 5 gallons or more, our exclusion area is going to be so much. We need to possibly evacuate people so far downwind. We know that we have to wear specialized suits, not just our turnouts that we wear. We have to have breathing apparatus, and it's a whole parameter requirements then based on the materials and the quantities of those materials. Then we'll go in, you know, again, it's a cautious situation. You go in, you're going to do a lot of reconnaissance, looking, seeing what's taking place, what's happening, and then from there, making up an incident action plan, how you're going to deal with the product, how you're going to isolate it, how you're going to mitigate what's a chemical reaction is occurring, and then how you're going to clean it up.
Okay, so let's put a little couple of twists. I'm going to like this one.
Oh, great.
Of course, we're
going
to go to the break, too. So, well, I'm thinking, okay, nighttime.
Right.
Okay, now you're just going to pull up with your headlights and take a look-see at it. You're mm-hmm. going to bring in something that either goes putt, 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 putt.
Right.
Or some of these big monster lights
mm-hmm.
that probably aren't 100% spark-free all the time. How does something like that then factor in and complicate?
It does at night, of course. Obviously, your visibility, you can't see a plume, for instance. If it's off-gassing and putting out something like that, you're going to be very restricted that way. So key components are isolate the area and restrict any entry, and that's where you start with. And you always want to caution on the side of the greatest, you know, error there and limit who goes in.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. Ken, the hazmat material, we did a little scenario before the break with the truck in the situation just north of Richardson's Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently CHP has all their guys there and they're not able to update that. Probably hear something from Matt or the guys down there now. Yeah. And apparently they don't want to talk to you about what's going on either.
Well,
as you've got the walkie-talkie on your hip. Yeah.
Our guys are there.
So no word is good news at this point.
They're handling it.
Okay. Yeah. We were talking a little bit about nighttime and some potential complicators.
Right.
You know, if something like this was to happen, I suppose this is a pretty good four-lane highway section.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes north would have been a little bit better for you
because
you could route around. But
right, bigger area.
You get in the two-lane. Now let's say the same scenario plays out. We're back to our daytime. We don't even have to worry about nighttime.
All right.
But there's a drip
mm-hmm.
and a leak, and you're
right.
not sure what it is. Well, you know, maybe the truck got sliced a little bit or the trailer. Something's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's call it a clearish liquid.
Okay.
So you don't know what it is at all.
Right.
Okay. You know it's not orange soda,
okay,
or Sprite, okay,
okay.
or 7 Up. Okay. Other than that, you don't know what this thing is, and at that spot, it's going across the road, and then you've got your hill cliff,
right,
going down into the river,
right.
Okay,
yeah.
So you just can't let it keep going.
Correct.
You don't want to go out there with your straw, however.
No.
And
no.
And blow it away.
Right.
So. And then you got the complication. Now it's daytime. It's on hot asphalt.
Right.
So if there is a low ignition point,
yeah.
Hey, we might have some.
Exactly.
How do you play that one out?
Yeah. And again, you know, we're going to look for those shipping papers. We don't have them. So the driver, let's say the driver disappeared and he took the papers with him, and he's down at the coffee shop.
Or let's say the papers blew over the edge.
Yeah.
So
right.
the guy was not at fault, but they are not available.
Right. So what we're going to do again, we're going to cordon off the area, isolate any entry. We have some items called booms and dikes that are cloth material with kitty litter, sandbag.
Well, it's the stuff
like
that's used at the gas stations or on the bay.
And we may put out one of those to stop where the spill is spreading, and we'll put those around, particularly storm drains and things like that, entering into the sewer and out into the bay.
Okay. Kitty litter doesn't combine with anything to become a hazardous material?
You know, for the most part, it's pretty darn good.
Okay, good. Okay.
Pretty absorbent.
I know in its design state it does, yes, combine with something
pretty,
that's hazardous.
Pretty darn
but,
good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But the other thing they'll do, and we would call out, again, isolate the area, call out our hazardous material team. They do some hazcatting, which is they try to identify what the material is, suit up, pH strips, is it acid, is it neutral, what is it, then identify from there, break it down even further to identify what the chemicals are, and then based on that, once they've identified, what is their response and the cleanup effort going to be, and what's involved with that. But again, it's taking a lot of precautions, and those things take time, and you know, we've seen a lot in the news lately where you have some train wrecks back east. Similar type of situation where you need to identify what's in the tank car, what's in being transported. Where is it spilling? Where is it going? Is it on fire? It's not something you just rush in very quickly and start putting water on. You want to make sure that the water's not going to react with the product and cause a bigger problem for you.
So if something is on fire, this guy, back to our scenario, and that was hazmatting or hazcatting?
Hazcatting.
C-A-T.
Yeah.
So you're not dipping the cat in the material and
no,
seeing
no
how
cats.
It reacts.
Yeah, okay. We don't have any cats with us.
Okay. I never heard about the fire cat. I heard about the dog, but not the cat. So, okay. You come into that same, it tips, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Now something's on fire.
Right.
Southern Humboldt.
Right.
Yeah, let's give it a couple months. Okay. Now you know where I am.
Okay.
So putting water down.
Uh-huh.
Probably isn't going to be the best thing. One, because it drains the river. Two, because it might combine with something.
Right. And if you have the water with you to even put water on it necessarily these days.
So what?
Well, we carry a number. We carry foam, a couple different types of foam.
So you run those through the hoses?
We do. And
okay.
We have some of our apparatus have foam in tanks that is built in the equipment. Some of them are just pails that we carry with us, but it comes out the hose. But again, depending on what you see burning, you know, if it's a tank truck and you don't know what the product is, we're not going to just rush in there and start putting water on it and put our guys at risk as well. We want to isolate and evacuate the area, keep people at a safe distance away. And sometimes there is going to be a lot of burning, and sometimes that's the best thing is to let the product burn off at times instead of trying to extinguish it, and then you have all this product, and what do you do with it?
But you don't want to start the fire.
No.
We're
not in that business.
It'd be kind of counterproductive to
the fire department,
yeah.
So we're normal.
The motto, the ethics,
right.
All that. Yeah.
We still try to live up to those and put the fires out.
What are the markings on the trucks? Are those things that give you clues? So if you're pulling up, this thing's on its side, see a blue diamond or a red diamond,
you
have a sense?
Right, and those four-digit numbers you'll see on the side of trucks, and I think, we have the gasoline trucks that run around 12, I think it's 1203 if my memory serves me, but we can go to that emergency response guide, which is for North America, and we can look up 1203. Everybody uses the same numbers. We go there, and we can immediately see that 1203 is gasoline, and then how to proceed based on the amount of the product, what is it doing, what is it interacting with. So it's a universal guide that's extremely beneficial to us for identifying what's in those containers.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students, plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. This afternoon, we're spending time talking about the hazardous material response.
Correct.
In Southern Humboldt, that's going on, I guess still going on right now. Certainly an interesting little twist. Ange came in and said, okay, we got Avenue of the Giants. So,
right.
Okay, now you got a little pressure that's time sensitive thrown into the equation. You got 2,000-3,000 folks wanting to go
get
running.
Yeah.
Does that influence the process at all, or is it just a recognition and maybe you open up a lemonade stand or something or suggest somebody does it to help everybody kind of stay calm?
Yeah, it's a recognition that there are other things going on, and, life continues, but it really doesn't have a great effect on how we are safely progressing through the incident itself. And if we end up hurting some of our folks because somebody else is inconvenienced, we don't want to do that, I'm sorry. And we see it every day when we have fires and we have fire hoses across the road and people want to get through. And some of them get very irate and upset because I've got an appointment and I've got to get through that road. And I'm sorry, you know, there's a fire going on, and those fire hoses, there's firefighters on the end of those, and their life depends on it. And I'm sorry, you're not going to run over my hose.
Your surge.
Run over me first.
Yeah, yeah.
But people get irate. They don't understand. They don't see the big picture. But that's what we get paid to do, is see the big picture and to remain calm and work through the process of how to get through the emergency as safely as possible without injuries and mitigate it so that things can get back to normal as soon as possible in a safe manner.
Regardless how silly the scenarios are that we talk about.
Right.
When you're selecting people, because I would imagine you might have some who want to be on.
Right.
And some who shouldn't be on.
Right.
Some that you want to have on, and right. Some that don't have any interest in being on.
Absolutely.
Hazardous response unit. Mm-hmm. What do you look for? Is it the big burly guy that can pull a hose? Is it somebody who's got so many years of seniority that they couldn't pull a hose? Something in between?
Yeah, it's a combination. It's number one, they have to express a specific interest in wanting to be on our hazardous material team.
Oh, you won't draft them then?
No. They have to, you know, I may give them a couple shoves in that direction, but it's up to them to make that decision to want to do that. Then they have to make the effort to attend these specialized classes and courses to be certified. And it can be, you know, size-wise, stature doesn't make any difference. We're looking for, again, guys with common sense who are able to remain calm and go through the process of methodically understanding the situation, looking at the big picture. That situational awareness is huge. What do you see? What's going on? What's the safest way to mitigate the emergency and keep people safe?
So how many guys do you have down there?
Total, we have 65.
Humboldt Fire?
Yeah.
You got 65 guys down there on the site?
No, that's total. So we have, today, I think we have five that are down there.
Just backfill as normal, as if right. It was a busy vacation
exactly.
period?
Exactly. Yeah, we called people back in to staff the engine and the truck, but they took the hazardous material vehicle down there and then another decontamination trailer that has pools and shower-type stuff. So if they are exposed to something, then we can decontaminate them or anybody else and save those materials and keep them separate, that type of stuff.
Well, remember to have somebody send out a press release when this thing's all done, okay?
We will.
Good
definitely.
Deal. So we'll get some more details on Monday. And that's all I can ask for.
All right.
Thanks for coming by, Ken.
Thanks.
We've been talking shop afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.